Welcome to the Autism Roundtable. I'm Leah Gross, founder of Circle Care Services. I'll bring you autism experts from all kinds of fields for helpful parenting ideas, insights, and strategies. Tune in for learning and support and connection. Okay, welcome Taylor Martinez. Thanks for coming on. Can you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about your journey becoming part of the autism community.
You know, I didn't anticipate being in the autism community. You don't think you're going to be in it until you're in it. And so that's one of the funniest things about it. So originally, I knew little about autism. Like, I knew my nephew had it, but that was it. And then I saw this job posting when I was looking for jobs, you know, to take over so my husband could finish his degree. And it was like entry level, you know, child therapist or something. And I was like, this sounds interesting, you know, and the pay was right. And so I was like, okay, you know, when I started doing the test, you know, I did all the 40-hour course, got state certified, and I jumped in on it. And it was great. But then with my first client, I was like, wow, you remind me a lot of my daughter. And I was like, okay, there is a lot of similarities. So I obviously was like, you know, talking to my husband, the pediatrician, and like, oh, you probably should get her evaluated, you know? And I just like, okay, you know, I'll do that. And sure enough, you know, she's on the spectrum. She ended up having PICA. And I was like, I'm wow. Was blown away.
Wow. Okay, was that your first child?
That was our second.
Okay. So
we have a 5-year-old, or 7-year-old, I guess, is the oldest. A wonderful girl named Emma. 5-year-old Brielle, who has the extra sparkle. And then I have 4-year-old twins.
Oh, wow.
Ezra and Eden. So it's a lot of fun in my house.
Okay, so you have experience in working with neurotypical children and raising them, and then you have a nice new viewpoint of having a child diagnosed with autism, and you know, and how to work and collaborate and make the best. And then you mentioned that you got into the world as being an RBT. So, what interested you? Why'd you go there? And what did you find rewarding there?
So the job posting was very, you know, it just sounded like something I would do. It was like, you can make a difference. And I was like, well, I love working with kids. I love my kids, you know. And just sure enough, like working it with the, you know, my client, you know, it was just like, wow, I really want to do this. And I'm really good at it. And I was quickly promoted to an RBT trainer. So now I go around, you know, training other RBTs. I need help. If there's anything that they need, they can always come out and reach out and ask me. And which is great, you know, while still being like an RBT full time. So it's just awesome. Like, I had one of my clients, you know, he tried strangling his teacher the first day of kindergarten. And I had him putting his hands up and walking away within, like, by the end of the year when I first got there. And so it was very, you know, rewarding.
Wow. Okay, so you mentioned that your daughter had PICA on top of the autism diagnosis. You want to just explain what it is, and let's hear about those different other things that were going on.
Yeah. So PICA is just a very broad way of putting it, is your child likes to eat really fun things that are not fun things for you to eat. Like, in instance, I thought it was just like a normal kid behavior, you know, even though none of my other kids did it. She just like started finding ladybugs around the house, and she just, you know, started eating them like Skittles or something. She's just, I ate it. And I was like, please don't.
Not a good idea.
And then like, it's slowly like, I remember, oh my gosh, this one trip we went to McDonald's. I was like, here, you guys, you know, I got them Happy Meals, you know, being a great mom, getting mom of the year. And my oldest, Emma, she's like, Mom, Brielle ate the wrapper. And I was like, no, I'm sure she's just holding the hamburger, you know, while eating the wrap, without eating the wrapper. Sure enough, the hamburger was there. The wrapper was not. It's still baffles me, like, to this day, like, to think about it. But just, like, so funny. But now, you know, since I make, like, candles and self-care products, you know, going into, like, more of a holistic journey, you know, within this stuff, I have packing peanuts laying around. Now we found out she likes it like popcorn. And so we have to be, like, a little more careful. And that's all the doctors really said to do. Was like, well, just don't keep it in the house. And if you see something, like, that she does, like, don't pay attention to it kind of thing. So maybe it could be, like, more of attention. But I don't know. It's not...
You haven't found any great solutions there yet.
Yeah, there's no great solutions.
So what I've heard in the past from, like, other providers was to, like, look at the nutrient intake, because a lot of times, like, they're lacking, like, they're deficient in something. Did your doctor send you for a blood panel?
Yeah, they said that she was fine and everything. I believe that the one thing they probably don't check for is, like, magnesium. And so I actually, like, do magnesium, like, supplements, like, with lotions, you know, and sprays to kind of, like, help, because everybody's really deficient in that. And I know that helps a lot because it, you know, it plays a role in, like, regulating all the neurotransmitters, you know, for brain function. It even blocks, like, the calcium channels. And it's just really great to have magnesium, and you won't feel so sluggish, and just improves, like, your stamina and your, you know, but it also helps them sleep, because I know we struggle with bedtime and going down to bed, and she'll find every excuse in the book. And I'm like, oh, you know, we need to go to sleep. Let's, you know, instead of trying, like, all the, you know, the medications, like melatonin and everything.
Sure.
We were like, okay, I made my own magnesium lotion.
Oh, wow. And
to the point that she asked for. She's like, oh, I need this on my feet. And I'm like, yes, you do.
That is so cool. You made your own magnesium lotion?
Yes.
How do you do that?
So it's trial. It was trial and error. But now, you know, I'm able to, like, I sell it now to other people because I got, like, my recipe down because it works wonders. But you, like, have you ever made mayo?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's kind of like that. You, like, emulsify, you know, like, the magnesium flakes with the right temperature of water, and it has to dissolve. But then you have to, like, blend it up at the right, you know, heat, temperature, and at the right speed. And it's a lot of work to do it, like, putting it together, because then if it breaks, it breaks. And so it's just this trial and error, but it's a lot of fun, and I realize that it really helps.
Amazing. That's quite cool. Your experience as an RBT and your parenting, I'm sure wearing both those hats must have impact each other. Where do you see that, and how do you see that?
I like to think that my house is very, like, I have, like, an ABA wall in my house, like, just in my hallway. We have, like, these big posters, like, oh, like, good things to do, like, some things that, you know, we should try to avoid. You know, we have, like, star charts on my wall for, like, every one of my kids, and, like, a level chart for the kids, like, individually to see. And we have, like, visuals just thrown around the house, because even as parents, you know, we need visuals a lot for, like, reminders and everything. And so, like, implementing the ABA and, like, in every aspect of my life, you know, it's kind of helpful.
Organizing.
Yes. And, like, the pre-MAC principle, like, oh, first put on your shoes and then you get the candy. Like, it's a lifesaver, honestly. And it's so much fun.
So you see that you're able to implement, like, the ABA concepts into parenting.
And my husband's like, what are you doing? And I was like, just watch and learn. Watch and learn.
So maybe give us a couple examples of that. Like, you know, things that you really felt impacted your, make parenting that much easier, or help you along in the journey of it.
Yeah. So, like, one, like, the visual learning, which is great, but also, like, behavior momentum. Like, if you know something's usually going to happen, and if you kind of, like, you know, help it go the right direction, and even, like, beforehand, you know, just manipulate the situation to make it go in a better way. Like, if you know something's going to throw one of your children off, just like, oh, well, guess what? We're going to go go to the park, you know, and said this, you know, and just kind of like throw it in there. But also like, this is going to be so much fun. Like we get ice cream, we get this, and just kind of like make it a lot better situation, you know.
Almost like changing the environment sometimes in order to make parenting successful.
Yes. And I'm not trying to use too much like ADA like terms and lingo, because I'm sure not everybody knows like all of that. So
okay, amazing. Okay, now tell me a little bit about what it is that you share with the ABA therapists when you're training them. Like, which concepts do you feel are like super important that would be helpful to share with parents as well?
Yeah, so definitely just like pairing with your client, and then like pairing, like even as a parent, like you need to pair with your kid. Like, it's not...
What's encompassed in pairing? Like, what are you talking about when you say pairing?
Sitting down and, like, playing what they want to, you know, and just... It doesn't always have to go your way. It should be more of a natural thing. I know sometimes that's harder. But, like, even if you're able to, like, do a little, like, natural learning and get things to go, like, how they want it to, I feel like it's going to greatly impact you because you're gaining the relationship. Because I know a lot of parents, they don't have that relationship sometimes with their kids because they're like, well, we don't know what to do. There's like this block, you know, with behaviors. Well, get down on your kids' like level. See things from their eyes, because we have this shape. Like, we have a little box we're trying to fit our kids into. And our kids don't fit in that box when they're on the spectrum. So we need to see things from their point of view and to really like help. And that's one of the things that I like to tell, like, when I'm training, like, well, how are they seeing it? How can we help them see it in the way we want to, but also in a way that they understand? And also just emphasize the little wins. Like, if your kid, you want them to put on both shoes, but they put on one, that's great. Say, oh my gosh, you put on one shoe. Let me help you with the other. Like, the little wins.
Like, really celebrate those wins. Give the kids that, like, positive reinforcement with their little steps, even if it's not like your entire picture that you painted in your head that you wanted. You got to really like sort of adjust those expectations so that A, you're not disappointed, and B, you could celebrate those wins and really feel it, and take that step back and be like, okay, it didn't go exactly my direction, but it went her direction, and let's celebrate that as well.
Exactly. And I think just really like seeing it how they see it will help tremendously and open up so many ways, like, and less stress, so much less stress. I feel like if you get down on their view.
Yeah, that's another great topic. How do you manage stress when it comes to parenting? Have you been in situations that you were like, ah, and then you found a solution and a way to walk yourself through it?
So I don't want to say I don't get stressed, because I definitely get overwhelmed. You know, you have kids, you're overwhelmed. It comes naturally. But I think it's very hard to be a mom of three, you know, just typical kids and have one child that's a little extra sparkly, because your other kids don't understand what's going on. And if you have, you know, my daughter likes to, unfortunately, take it out on my oldest daughter. She'll have artwork up and she'll come and like rip it up. And so it's really overwhelming, but you just have to take a step back. You know, there are those moments, honestly, that I go and hide from my kids and I cry for a minute and I like readjust my thinking and I have to like, okay, what is it that I can do to help you?
So when you're feeling stuck, it's, you try and reframe your mind to think, what is it that I can help you as my child versus, you know, letting those emotions sort of take over.
Yeah, it's definitely good to have like a place that you can like go and hide, like in general. But like when you're getting really frustrated, because then it frustrates your children. And then if you have a child on the spectrum that's now like acting out, you know, you both can't be in the same mindset. Like one of you is going to have to back up and it's going to have to be the parent. And so you just have to like take a deep breath and be like, what are they seeing that I'm not getting? And I saw this post the other day, and it actually was like, you know, my daughter threw a fit about the color cup that she wanted before I had to go to work. And she's like, okay, let me take a deep breath. Like, what is making you so upset about this cup? She's like, you give me the cup and I know you're going to leave. And that's what the real problem was. So if you step back and you ask, like, what is actually happening? You're going to open your eyes and learn so much. And so that's how I kind of just keep myself grounded. Like, there's something that my children aren't getting, you know, and we didn't figure out the world completely as adults. But, like, how are we expecting, like, our 5-year-old, 7-year-old, 4-year-olds to, like, understand how everything works when we don't even know how it all works? We need to step back and just, what can we do to change ourselves to help them?
That's amazing. That's great. I love that advice. I love it for neurotypical, and I love it for children on the autism spectrum, because, yeah, we need a almost, it's a challenge. I'm a mom of 6, and, like, I can't say that it's always easy to hold it together. And, you know, we all are, you know, challenged, but, like, to always take that couple minutes, take that step back to really stop and breathe and reframe. And I love your point about getting down onto their level, because if you get into that child's eye and you look at it and you see, like, what is it that they're, that's really bothering them? And then if you're even able to step back and have that conversation of, like, you know, what's wrong, if the child can have that conversation, and that's really important to listen, and then to better understand them, and that it's much more calming and helpful to us to be calm when we take that step back and, you know, really look at it through their lens.
Exactly.
Now, you told me a little bit about a holistic approach that you like to have with your family. Tell us a little bit about that.
I never intended to be this way. I guess crunchy is what they call it. But it slowly grew on me. Like, I think it started around COVID, actually, you know, because everything sold out, and I was like, okay, well, something's gotta give. Like, I don't know. And I got really sick one day, and my mother-in-law, you know, she's Hispanic, and she has, like, I feel like Hispanics just do things differently. They don't do a lot of Western medicine. They just, like, oh, this tea, this. And she, like, took, like, rubbing alcohol and mixed it with water, and she dipped cloths in it, and she put it on my head, wrapped my feet, you know, and it broke my fever. Like, I was back to normal within, like, 12 hours.
Oh, wow.
And I was, like, really sick and bedridden after I got home from the hospital. So I was like, there has to be more to this, like, more stuff that we don't have to ingest to put into our body. And so I slowly started, like, implementing, like, oils, like peppermint, you know, orange, lavender, cedarwood, you know, just in daily things. Like, I like to have a spray, you know, I call it my uplifting spray, my happy spray. And because I know you can manipulate your smells to help your mood.
Oh, and interesting.
So it's actually really fun. And my kid's like, I just need the happy spray. And I was like, all right, here I go. And so it started with just that. And then I was like, okay, I think, you know, maybe I should start doing, like, the magnesium and stuff. And so I looked into how to do the oils, and I started, you know, making them. And now I'm just implementing little things, like, when I started with that, and now we cut out, like, all the dyes.
And have you seen any change in that? And have you read any, like, interesting studies on that, like, how it impacts? And I know it's big talk out there.
Yeah. So I know there are lots of studies saying, you know, they're bad for you, and it gets into your system, you know, it can cause, like, all this bad stuff. I don't focus more on, like, what's out there. I just know from personal experience, like, we stop giving our kids dyes, and it's, like, night and day. Like, even in their shampoo and bath products, like, we're dye-free.
So what kind of positive results do you see? Like, is that in behavior? Is that, like, where are you seeing, like, changes?
Definitely behavior. It's just night and day. One of my friends was like, oh, I gave so-and-so, I gave your kids a fruit roll-up. And fruit roll-up has so much, you know, all this fun stuff. And my husband and I were like, well, you're the one with them. So
good luck taking care of them. So you see a direct response, like within minutes? Like,
yeah, it's within, like, probably the hour, maybe 30 minutes. And so I can always tell when she has, like, some snacks at school because she'll just run out. I remember the other day, her teacher's like, yeah, I just gave her like this really good sucker or something. And I was like, that's great. I couldn't tell because I just entered the door and she's like, Ma! And I was like, what are you doing? Like, we are inside the school right now. You can't be doing this. And then she just screamed. And then all the other kids, like, started following her. And it was like they're on a deserted island just running around, just screaming their heads off. And usually my kids don't do that. I feel like they're well-behaved. We're told they're well-behaved. And so I like to think that they are. But there's definitely a difference when they have it and then they don't sleep. And they're cranky. And so we try to keep it out very hard.
Wow. Okay. So that's cool. So magnesium you find is very helpful with the sleep and you find keeping the red dye away helps the children to better regulate and not be as sort of, it sounds like hyper, right?
Yeah.
Any other cool things that you've come across that have been helpful?
I'm trying to think. It's mainly just like essential oils, you know, the magnesium. We like just to stay very kind of grounded. We don't like to use like a bunch of products, you know, with stuff in them. But even like overly processed foods, we don't like to get our kids that much because it's awful. There shouldn't be like 30 ingredients in chicken nuggets, I feel like. Should only be like a couple. So we try really hard to like start limiting that because your body's supposed to be a temple and what you feed into it, you know, it affects you. It shows. And so we want the kids to be better than what we were.
Okay, amazing. Tell me a little bit about your experience with having BLE in the family impacts the other children and maybe some tips and advice.
So Brielle definitely has her struggles. There's good days and bad days, which, you know, everybody has. But I know it's really hard on my oldest daughter, Emma. She goes, why does Brielle keep ruining everything I do? And I have to try to explain. I was like, you know how I go help kids? Like, we're trying to find someone to go help Brielle. That's all it is. Like, it's really a struggle because they don't understand, you know, and then it hurts, you know, your heart as a mom. Because your kids are crying to you, like, why does she have to do this all the time? Like, why does she have to, you know, put her shoes and socks on in a certain order when we're running late? And it's just, like, different things. And it's hard, but, you know, it won't always be hard. They won't always be this little. And so you just try to, like, cherish the moments, even the harder ones, because this won't be forever. In the flash of an eye, it's going to be gone. And so that's what I'm trying to tell myself, to just keep moving on.
Keep moving forward and this stage will pass. But I liked how you put in there not to like let it fly by without enjoying it. Because, you know, sometimes I think back to my early parenting years where I had, you know, I think I had 4 children under the age of 4. And it was really busy. And I think back, like, did I really enjoy each moment? Did I remember, like, yeah, I was changing a lot of diapers, so maybe there's, like, some suppressed thoughts there. But
right.
We shouldn't suppress them all. We should really make sure that we're enjoying these moments. And, like, you know, each child is so beautiful and enjoyable. And we learn so much from them. And we don't want to either, like, glaze over those moments. We really want to work on making ourselves emotionally available to really enjoy each and every moment with the children.
Yeah. And then, you know, they were chosen for us. We were specifically chosen for them. And so that's also like something that keeps me grounded. I'm like, I was chosen to be her mom. Like, there's no other way around it. So I am meant for this. We will get through this.
That's amazing. What kind of supports do you have in your life that really help you get through this?
Definitely my husband. Luckily, he's been, you know, great the entire time. It was quite the shock, though, when we found out that there was twins. Quite the shock. but luckily, you know.
When did you find out? I always love twin stories.
Oh, So I have a really crazy one. So in 2020, such a fun year, they told me I had lymphoma. I was like, okay, cool, you know, we'll get through it. The world's shut down. And I wow. went to... I
you
went
have such a great attitude.
I mean, you have to. With everything that's happened, you just have to be positive about it. But I was like, okay, you know. And so they went in to do, like, their final scan to pinpoint where the cancer was in my body, to pinpoint where to start treatment. And the cancer was gone. And our faith grew, like, wildfire that year. And I was never a believer before. And so it's just, it shows in my life. And so when the cancer was gone and they're like, you only have cysts. You have two cysts. And I was like, I don't get cysts. And I took a pregnancy test and I was pregnant. So my cancer was gone, but I now am pregnant. And we're like, okay, cool, you know. And, you know, we were all excited and Braille was supposed to be our last child. So we got rid of all of our babies. Yeah, we got rid of all of our baby stuff, you know? Like, I'm going to have any more. And I went into the doctor's office and I'm like, oh, here's your baby's heartbeat. And I was, oh, here's the other one. And I was like, what? And, you know, and I laughed hysterically for 2 weeks. My husband was crunching numbers in his head for a lot longer than that. But it works. It's one of the greatest things, you know? Instead of cancer, I now have 2 healthy twins.
Wow.
And wow. So it was quite the journey, and it's a great testimony.
Wow. So, wow. And now you do look to faith to help you get through things as well.
I find it helps a lot, because if you don't have faith, I feel like you're not going to have a very good outlook on some things, because you're not going to have – there's just so many inspirational things, and if you can see it around you – then it helps you get through it.
Wow. Wow. And then what kind of communities are you part of that help you to really get through things and to be the best parent you could be?
So my husband and I were homebodies for, I don't know, 3 years, I guess, before we moved outside Oma to this super tiny town. And we took our kids out of public school because they fed my daughter eggs and she's allergic. And so she went into shock. And so we're like, private school it is. And we ended up finding the best friends. Like, we have just a huge support system. Like, Sam and James are one of our closest friends. And they also, you know, I think they have 5 kids now.
Oh, wow.
And so, like, we get together and it's really one big family. And then we have, you know, another couple that we're best friends with as well. And so our support just kind of grew when we traded off for, you know, a small town life. And it's one of the greatest things. But we also, you know, have his parents that live kind of close by.
Oh, wow.
My mom lives a little farther away in Arkansas, so I can't just pop over. But definitely the support systems that you need and that we want.
Yeah, that's amazing. I remember you told me a little bit about something that happened to you over COVID. Did you want to share that story?
Yeah. When I was intubated, I believe.
Why were you intubated?
COVID.
So you had a bad case of COVID.
Oh, yeah. I had an awful case of COVID. You know, all my family got sick, you know, and then I took it the hardest. And my O2 went down to the low 60s, and I just wanted to sleep. And my husband came to check on me, and he saw that my O2 was super low, and he's like, we need to go to the hospital. But I didn't recognize him. I didn't recognize my children.
Oh, wow.
And so when I went to the hospital, they're like, oh, can I have your ID? Because, you know, he couldn't come in with me because it's, you know, not allowing anybody with people.
Oh, my goodness.
And so I handed them, like, the Chick-fil-A card or something. And they're like, this isn't it. And so I just handed them my whole wallet. I was like, can you do this? Just find it. And the nurses didn't expect me to make a recovery at all. So they're like, I don't know how you're alive. You should have died.
Okay, 1 second. Once you got into the hospital, you were treated?
Yeah, I was immediately taken back and admitted on oxygen. And then I got intubated. But then I slowly, not slowly, it was like a very, like, I was there for 2 weeks. And then sometime within the 2 weeks, I got just like a 180 and I got better, but I had to use a walker to walk around.
Okay, so while you had COVID, then you weren't able to walk? Or
yeah, I had to relearn to walk.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because my body just shut down. I couldn't do it on my own.
Oh, my. And wait, how old were your children at this point? Or
so the twins were like 7 months old, I think. Like, they were super little, and I was breastfeeding at least one of them. And so it was an awful experience. But, you know, I am here today.
Yeah, and you had to push through that for your children. Like, you're...
'Cause my story is not done.
No, you want to be there for them and support them and be a good support to them. Okay, so... what other messages would you like to share with parents on the autism spectrum? Any last advice or tips that you feel like you would love to share?
Just really celebrate the small wins. Get down and look from your child's eyes, because we're going to solve so much problems and have so much less stress if we stop trying to fit our children into a box. When we, at their age, didn't understand, and we still don't understand why things are working the way they are. So we can't expect them to understand after a couple times. We just really have to, you know, stop, breathe, and think, and just see how we can better help them by changing ourselves, changing our perspective. And that's what I think one of the greatest things, you know, I've done is started to do that. It's just changing my own perspective, because I want to change myself to better help my daughter, better help my kids understand this world.
That is amazing. You should just keep having a lot of strength to, you know, have these wonderful thoughts and continue sharing them with other people. And yeah, that is so nice. Really appreciate it. Thank you so much, Taylor, for coming on today.
No, absolutely.
Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you for having me.